The reading is written in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 7, and to be found on page 1166 in the Church Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. St. Paul writes, "There was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.' Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, I'm Richard Garner's wife. When I was young, I was known as my mother's daughter. When I got married, I was known as Richard Garner's wife. And when I had my daughters, I was known as Jane and Rachel's mother. I struggle with my identity. It's 35 years since I stood here. 35 years ago, I was asked to do a book review. And some of you may remember Stephen Picks. He was leading the service and preaching. And he said to me, "Jill, you have 3 minutes to do your book review. Any longer and I will cut my sermon short." He cut his sermon short. This is a lovely verse. "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Let's pray. Make the book live to me, O Lord. Show me yourself within your word. Show me myself, and show me my Saviour, and make the book live to me. Amen. Last summer, Rich and I spent a considerable amount of our time in the resus section of the A&E department of St. George's Hospital. I spent many hours lying on the trolley, and every single bit of that ceiling is etched on my memory. I have been diagnosed with atrial fibrillation, commonly known as AF. This is a condition when the heart beats very fast and irregularly. I was on the waiting list to have an operation to correct this problem, and the consultant told me that if I went into AF, I was to come straight up to A&E and let them sort it out. Unfortunately, this happened every few days, and sometimes my heart was going at a rate of over 200 beats a minute. I found this quite distressing. Nurses make lousy patients, and I have to confess that my patience was wearing more than a little thin. Yes, I had prayed about it on many occasions, as had others, but the condition persisted. There were times when my prayers seemed to bounce off the ceiling. But on one Sunday night, I had gone to bed about 10:30, and I had a really bad attack and felt ill. I phoned my younger daughter, Rachel, and told her that Rich and I were going to hospital. I also then said something of which I am not particularly proud. I said to her, "I wish I was dead." There was a stunned silence on the other end of the phone, and I could hear muttered talking. And then she said, "Nigel," that's her husband, "is on his way. He will drive you to the hospital and stay with you and Dad until they sort you out. Then he will drive Dad home." I felt rather guilty because I knew that Nigel had preached 3 times that day. I also knew that they'd had people to lunch, and that the following day he was going to a young people's camp to help lead it. But Nigel arrived within minutes, and we got into the car. But before Nigel drove off, he turned to me. Now, what he could have said was, "Come on, mother-in-law, sort yourself out. Stop wallowing in self-pity." What he actually said to me was, "I'm going to remind you of a verse you know very well. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." He then prayed that I would experience this grace and would also experience God's peace in my heart. Physically, nothing changed. My heart was still going like a train, but I experienced a tremendous peace in my heart. And God's grace came flooding in. That peace never left me, even though it was some weeks before I went into hospital to have the procedure to correct the problem. The mystery of human suffering will not be solved in this life. We do not know what Paul's thorn in the flesh was. We do know that it was a physical problem that caused him pain and distress. Some think it was something to do with his eyes, but we do not know for sure. What we do know is that he prayed 3 times that God would remove the affliction. Paul was not healed. Paul had no more access to instant healing than we have. Sometimes God heals us and sometimes he does not. God's message to Paul was one of grace, and it's the same message to us today. Okay, what is grace? Grace is God's provision for our every need when we need it. Somebody once said that God in his grace gives us what we do not deserve. And in his mercy, he does not give us what we do deserve. God in his grace gives us what we do not deserve. And in his mercy, he does not give us what we do deserve. There's a very good acrostic that explains grace. G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. We have all the riches that God can give us because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. These verses give us 2 messages. 1, sufficient grace. There will never be any shortage of grace. If God's grace is sufficient to save us from our sin, it is sufficient to keep us and strengthen us in our time of suffering. God always gives us sufficient grace. It's also a message of strengthening grace. God permits us to become weak so that we might receive his strength. Whenever we're going through suffering, we need to spend extra time in God's word. And when we do that, God will speak to us. He always has a special message for those of his children who are going through troubled times. God did not give Paul any explanation as to why he was suffering. He didn't give him any explanation, but he gave him a promise. My grace is sufficient for you. We do not live on explanations. We live on promises. Our feelings change, but God's promises never change. Paul claimed God's promise and drew on the promise that was offered to him. God did not change the situation by removing the affliction. He changed it by adding a new ingredient. In James chapter 4, verse 6, we read, "He gives us more grace." There's a lovely old hymn which I think sums it up perfectly. No, I'm not going to sing it. I know there'll be those worried that I might. I know how to empty a church very quickly. But I am going to read it to you. "He giveth more grace as the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength as the labours increase. To added affliction, he addeth more mercy. To multiplied trials, his multiplied peace. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed, when the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only begun. His love has no limits. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again." Paul received two benefits because of his suffering. He received the power of Christ in his life. God transformed Paul's weakness into strength. The word translated rest means to spread a tent over. Paul saw his body as a frail tent, but the glory of God came into that tent and transformed it. God was able to glory in his illness. That does not mean he preferred pain to health. But he was able to glorify God by the way he accepted and handled the difficult experiences of his life. Paul knew about the power of God because he trusted the will of God and depended on the grace of God. That same power can be ours today. And I'm just going to close by reading these two verses in the Amplified Bible. "My grace, my favour, and loving kindness and mercy are enough for you. That is sufficient against any danger and to enable you to bear the trouble manfully. For my strength and power are made perfect, fulfilled, completed, and show themselves most effective in your weakness. Therefore, I will all the more gladly glory in my weaknesses and infirmities, that the strength and power of Christ the Messiah may rest, yes, may pitch a tent over and dwell upon you. So for the sake of Christ, I am well pleased and take pleasure in infirmities, insults, hardships, persecutions, perplexities, and distresses. For when I am weak in human strength, then I am truly strong, able, powerful in divine strength." Amen.